afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the PGA DFS First Look Show. It's the RBC Heritage Week. We're heading to Hilton Head Island, and, well, some of us may be a little hungover from yesterday or hungover from all of the golf coverage. I feel like I might have watched enough golf for the next 10 years combined, but I'm going to do it again this week because that is what we do here. Might have had to, you know, go take the dogs for a longer walk this morning, maybe even get in some gardening, Max, because we got to get back going again. RBC Heritage is a great week. There's some big-time DraftKings prize pools. We don't have DraftKings salaries quite yet. Hopefully, by the time we get to that in the show, we will. But I'll bring in Max and Jeff. Welcome, guys. Hopefully, one of you had Hideki Matsuyama somewhere. Jeff, he's like your guy. Did you have a dollar on him? $1.50?
I didn't, man. At the same time, it's not like one of those situations where I'm necessarily mad. I mean, I'm mad that, like, I've bet Hideki a ton of times. I've given him chat. I've bet him at the Masters probably three out of the last 4 years. But, you know, I just the lead-in was just – it was weird for Hideki. Like, he had missed cuts. He was up and down. I know Hideki's top game is fully capable of winning majors, and we saw that happen. And it's like, yeah, okay, it happened just like, you know, I thought eventually would. It just sucked that, you know, the timing didn't work out for me. But it's a little hard to watch from that perspective. But honestly, even though I had some live exposure, some live bets on guys like Xander, I just, it's hard to cheer against Hideki. Like, I did not want to see him blow that lead. So, yeah, all things considered, pretty non-eventful week in terms of making profit for me. But also, I thought it was a pretty solid Masters, to be honest.
It was fun to watch, at least. And Max, before I kick it over to you, one of the things that I might have one of the only things last week was my stuff over on Monkey Knife Fight. They're a player props-based contest. They're easy to play. Don't require the time commitment of trying to fade Corey Connors and worrying if you have to or not. No, you don't have to worry about that at Monkey Knife Fight. You are in charge, whether you want to play NBA, UFC, PGA, esports, how about MLB? Monkey Knife Fight has it. Get started. Head on over to monkeyknifefight.com. Choose which game you want to play. Contest type, buy-in, and even better, when you sign up using promo code AWESOMO, you're going to get $50 today. So, Max, I know by looking at a couple of your lineups, Matsuyama, he's a guy that you love to play. When I look at your previous stuff, just coming in, you played him at Valero. He didn't look good, and that got us off of him at Augusta, and I don't think we'll ever do that again.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I had him at Valero, but he just made so many bogeys. You know, like, he was making birdies for sure, but couldn't really control where the irons were going. Just didn't look good enough anyway. And there were so many guys in that range. It's just, it was tough to get him in, but that's why he was single digits owned and obviously paid off huge.
Yeah, he sure did. And a couple of other things I want to make note. So one of the things that we know when a storm rolls in and suspends play, we know when the golfers go back out there, the greens are super soft, right? I mean, obviously, there's a storm that came through. They had to cancel play or suspend play because of it. Well, that typically helps the best iron players in the world because the greens are softer, easier to stop the ball. Matsuyama took full advantage of it on Saturday. Really took a hold of the tournament right there. Nobody was striking their irons as good. Maybe Jordan Spieth, but again, the soft conditions aren't going to help Jordan Spieth as much as they're going to help Matsuyama. We all know Matsuyama is a better iron player than Spieth, especially when he's on. So I thought that was one of the most interesting turning points of the entire tournament. What did it for you guys in Matsuyama where you're like, all right, he's going to win this? Even on Sunday, Jeff, I saw a tweet from you, a couple of drives that are definitely going to haunt Xander, not just 17, but also on the front side. You think Xander handed it to Matsuyama, or do you think Matsuyama won?
I mean, you're dead on with how Matsuyama won the tournament. He won it on Saturday, man. He came out of that, and you could just see it. Like, he was just firing. He's like, oh, the greens are soft. Let me just go at every flag. And you could just see the confidence. And then he sunk a couple putts. Xander and Leishman missed theirs coming in. Like, Leishman could easily got to, like, 9 under if he had sunk a couple putts.
Yep.
So he blew it, too, on Saturday. And I think he won the tournament on Saturday. Yeah, Xander, to me, great comeback after the terrible front nine, but like
you love to see it.
The dude was with it, 180 away from on number two after a massive drive, couldn't hit the green. And then on three, he puts it, you know, within 20 feet of the pin and he can't get it on the green with his chip. I know that's a tough chip, but like you've got to give yourself like 15 feet for birdie there and like not get too fancy. So I think those were just blown opportunities because Hideki started slow with the bogey. I think Xander easily could have cut it to two there after the first couple holes. If he does that, I honestly don't think Hideki hangs on. We saw him get nervous at the end, but Nobody really put the pressure on him. He won the tournament on Saturday. No one could recover enough. Full credit to Hideki, but yeah, it was some missed opportunities for Xander, and obviously 16. I mean, we all saw that.
Yeah, 15. When Matsuyama got an absolute juiced flyer out of the fairway, and that was probably a little bit more of a wrong club with his adrenaline going than it was anything else. Flew 10 yards long, caught the bank, and then went in the water. Max, I said to my father, who loves watching Masters, said, Xander's going to win this golf tournament. Yeah. This is it. He puts the next shot to 4 feet, you know, makes the eagle, has the box on 16. All he's got to do is put it somewhere on the green because Matsuyama's already reeling. We know he is. You can see it in his face. It doesn't even have to be down the hill, you know, going in for a hole in one. No, just anywhere on the green. And then he just blows it. It's a constant thing with Xander right now.
Yeah.
No, for DFS purposes, this is totally beside the point. He was a must roster this week.
Yeah.
And in terms of going forward, I think he's still a great roster. But in terms of winning a golf tournament, betting on him to win, he's pretty much in a void until he can close the door. And he hasn't done it in, longer than Jordan Spieth at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's with Xander, we talked about it on the betting show, right? The betting preview. Like, it's just hard to see him breaking through at a tournament like this. And as soon as he drew two clubs on 16, like, he was between. Yeah, I was like, is he really just going to put it in the water? No one put it in the water.
Ryan Palmer was the only other guy, yeah.
I mean, Ryan Palmer finds the water anyway, right? But it was just so brutal.
Yeah,
it was. And, yeah, and then just the second one where he flew it, pulled the Bryson, and then just making the triples. Just it's hard to watch with Xander. But like I said on Twitter yesterday, like, he's going to win multiple majors. Yeah. The guy just has way too much talent. He's going to get over the hump eventually. This didn't happen yesterday, but, you know, Hideki deserved it. Like, he won it on Saturday for sure. Four-shot lead on that golf course, as hard as it was playing, was very tough to overcome.
The craziest stat of the week for me, that was Xander's first triple bogey in a major ever.
Yeah. What?
That is so, like, that just gives you an idea of how consistent Xander is. But
yeah.
When it mattered most. Yeah, when it mattered most, the swing got a little loose, and that's what happened. Yeah. Move on to the guy that we haven't talked about, maybe the one that could have gave Hideki Matsuyama the most problems.
Yeah,
it was Will Zalatoris in Zalatoris' season. And this guy, let me tell you, he is incredibly impressive. It's painful to root against. I didn't play him last week because I bought into the stigma of this kid is not as good as Jordan Spieth was in 2014. There's no way he's getting in the top 10 of this event. He's not that great of a putter. Well, he just totally proved me wrong on every aspect. Note taken for sure for Zalatoris. But I got to be honest. I thought if he had birdied 18 and got to 10 under, he would have won the tournament. So as much as I'm glorifying him, which was an amazing start, he's not even a full-time PGA Tour member, and here he is, second at Augusta. He could have won the green jacket, Max.
Yeah, Willie Z was just unbelievable. He was the only guy to shoot under par every round, which is insane for a guy playing for the first time. And I don't even think the golf course really suits his game. Like, he's much more suited for a U.S. Open or a PGA Championship. Like, courses that play super long, super hard. I looked at his win stats. Like, his win stats are unbelievable. So the wind actually helped him, playing with the wind up on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, I mean, the kid's going to be a star. He's so good.
He is, Jeff. And we've talked about him a ton on the show, and there's no reason not to. But are you disappointed that he didn't get to 10? I was really, really thinking that if he got to 10, we're going to see a playoff at the very minimum.
I mean, look, he did have the chance on the back nine. Like, if you're going to fault him for anything, it's that he obviously played the front nine better than guys like Xander, but like his back nine, he probably left a shot or two out there, right? Like, so again, I'm not going to sit here and hinder him for like what a performance in his first Masters, but you're right. I mean, he could have at least given himself a birdie chance on some of these holes. So probably a little bit of a missed opportunity just with how shaky Hideki was playing. But, you know, again, to Max's point, like tee to green, you have to put this guy up there with guys like Morikawa at this point. He obviously had like a career putting week as well. He really, really figured out the greens.
He did.
Keep that in mind. I don't think he's going to putt that well every week. I still feel like that's probably like the part of his game that's going to hinder him the most. He's going to be very much like Morikawa, up and down with that club, I think. But the ball striking is so good he's just going to be, the breakthrough's coming. It's no doubt about it.
Speaking of putting, if you guys had told me on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, for that matter, that Jordan Spieth would be number one in tee to green and not win the golf tournament, I would have sold my house. I would have remortgaged it. I would have sold my parents' house and remortgaged it and put it on Spieth to win. But that's where we are. I would have lost it all. Jeff, is the run good of Augusta putting done for Spieth? Or do you think maybe he had just was running a hot coming in and maybe just cooled off a little bit? I personally, I'll give you mine. I think he'll bounce back next year and maybe win. And it's not like he didn't putt himself out of the tournament. He still came in to tie for fourth or fourth alone.
Third.
Third. Sorry.
Look,
sure. Tie for third was Xander. That's right. Sorry.
Yep. I mean, Spieth played fine. Like, yeah, a few putts on the green, sure, here and there. But putting is such a volatile thing. Again, you know, Zalatoris showing up with the putter this week. I don't think most people had that pegged as something that was going to happen on his first time around. Putting is just a volatile thing. And we know Jordan Spieth's upside with the putter is huge. He'll bounce back. It's nice to see. I'm really excited to see what Jordan Spieth's going to do at the PGA, quite frankly, because I think this is going to be one of his best chances to win a PGA, just with the die setup and how Kiawa Island is set up, you know, the more open kind of venue. So, it sucks for him. If you had money on Jordan Spieth, whatever, but he certainly was there. He was playing well enough to win. I just didn't quite have enough juice on the greens.
Max, I thought when he came to 15, sorry, after the really solid birdie on 13 and 14, I'm like, okay, he's going to get to 10 in post, and then we're going to see Matsuyama fall apart. Missed putt on 15, a terrible shot on 16, nothing going on 17 or 18. Kind of threw it away. We'll speak about that, but also a couple other notes that I wanted to bring up. Corey Connors, you can't fade him at Augusta. I have another note on that as well that I'll tell you guys about once we go over into our pro review. Bobby Mack, what a performance. The guy needs a 13-footer after bogeying 17, needs a 13-footer on 18 to get back to next year's Augusta. He did it, so good for him, Bobby Mack. You love to see it. But Tony Finau coming in with no form. He ends up in the top 10. Cam Smith, another top 10 here at Augusta. Siwoo Kim, we talked about him a ton on this show. Yeah. Great performance. Imagine if he didn't break his putter. What would have happened with Siwoo Kim this week? Might not have had to worry about military service had he not broken his putter, but here we are. And that's what we're going through with him. Ty Hatton is the last guy. Maybe a breakthrough, Max? I'll have you speak on that first.
Hatton, I actually played him on the weekend just because of his tee time. And obviously the guy is so good with the irons. Sunday was really impressive. He kind of had nothing going on the front nine and then just caught fire on that stretch 13, 14, 15, 16. I feel like they set that up on purpose with the pins that they do every Sunday, so guys could really make a move.
Make a move down those last five holes, yep.
Yeah, that's what Hatton did. That's what Xander did until 16, obviously. But yeah, nobody was really on him, but the guy should be in the conversation every time when it comes to a major. He's just super talented.
Jeff, Chad is worried about my parents being homeless sometime soon, betting on Jordan Spieth enough. And while that's possible, I guess, we don't have to worry about that. I'll just rent it out during Valspar week. That should give me enough credit. Coming up here in a couple of weeks, actually. So I'm excited about that. But this week, one of the guys that big miss for us, and he's playing again this week, but he might be broken. Talk about Patrick Cantlay. Everything looked fine. But is this a case of he analyzed it too much and was too amped? Tried to change his iron swing even. He talked about it. Said he was trying to get steeper. I don't know why he's trying to get steeper. He's got one of the best approach games in the game. So what do you make of Patrick Cantlay's performance last week?
I mean, to me, Cantlay was... he was just like squeezing the clubs too tight, to use like a really cliche analogy. He looked like he put together like three great shots in a row, and then he'd have one terrible one or a missed putt. And you could just see it, like the screws were tightening, like, oh my God, I'm two over. Now I got a 4 foot to save par. Oh my God, I missed the putt. You know, then he tried to relax, hit a couple good shots, and it just never snowballed came on him. Like, again, it's such a weird dichotomy between him and Hideki. I think both these guys have tee to green games that can compete with the best in the world when they're on. But, you know, one guy, Hideki, grinded through the first 2 days. He took his chance on Saturday. He nailed it. Cantlay just could never get it going, and he couldn't grind through the first 2 days. It sucks. He didn't show up. But I really just feel like it was just a mental thing where he probably just had too much pressure on himself, whatever. Maybe the swing changes as well was part of it. It just looked like a guy who had put too much pressure on himself, because I think he was playing great golf at the start of the year. I'm still bullish on Cantlay winning a major at some point. And you know, he's of the age where I think it's going to happen soon. But this week was just a complete write-off. I watched like almost every shot of his, like the first, like, 27 holes. I just wrote it off after that. But it just looked like a guy, you just see the screws tightening. You're like, wow, this guy just needs to, like, you know, smoke a Jaybird or something. And because it just looked like he was just too tight.
He wasn't the only one, Max. Dustin Johnson, yeah. Rory McIlroy, some other big names. But let's talk about Cantlay for a second here, since we're on this topic. Typically, he has been some of the most consistent iron play. Was it – okay, two-part question. One, do you think that when he got sick at the WGC concession with whatever it was, he said it was dehydration, could have been COVID, who knows? Do you think that that is causing a regression now, or is it literally just a case of one tournament, he'll be in the top five this week?
Yeah, it's one tournament for me. I mean, he was awesome at the match play. Yeah, he was just in that group with Harman where Harman came out in the playoff.
Yep. Played really good there.
Yeah, but he was insane tee to green there. I think, like, coming out to Augusta early, right? Like, he came out, what was it, a week early or 2 weeks early?
Played with a friend, yep.
Yeah, and I get, like, making
this. Like, he hyped himself up.
Yeah, more steep on the irons, just because the greens were playing so hard. So if you came if you came in higher, you would get a better chance of stopping the ball. I get it. But obviously, I think it just snowballed on him. Like Jeff said, like, you know, he was just too amped up, missed a couple shots, was a couple over early. And it's so easy to just get going in the wrong direction with Augusta, just because you have these 5-footers on every single hole. You miss a couple and that's it. Yeah, it really doesn't change anything with me for Cantlay. He's so young. Like, we forget how young this guy is. He's gonna be there so many times.
He is. Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to test your conviction this week, guys, because he's $10,900 as salaries just dropped here maybe about a minute or two ago. So definitely going to test your conviction this week. Let's go to a little DFS review here and also see how the pros made their lineups last week. Maybe give you a little hint on the strategy to use this week. Let's go ahead on our top, and I just go through this first couple of slides rather quickly here. Top value, no surprise to see Matsuyama, Zalatoris 1-2. Obviously, Corey Connors, the faders, just hate to see that hole-in-one go in. In fact, you watched the Tuesday show with Ben and I. We called for the hole-in-one on Corey Connors. We knew it was going to happen. Mark Leishman, out of nowhere, this is what he does. He just goes away, and then it's a major condition set up perfectly for him. There he is at 12X, definitely a big part. Bobby Mack, also mentioned him. He's at 12X. Justin Rose, first couple of rounds, got him into a position where he was part of the optimal lineup. Ryan Palmer, although he had a couple of triples, many water balls, he still had 2 eagles and 15 birdies on the week, guys. So something to certainly keep an eye on with Ryan Palmer. Stuart Sink, Sebastian Munoz, Cameron Champ, Jeff? I'll have you talk about him for a second. Showed up again at Augusta.
I'm already sucked back in to Cameron Champ. I mean,
didn't take much, did it?
No. Yeah, this is all I need, though. I mean, the guy is just such a high end, driver of the ball. He's just such a talent, in my opinion, Cameron Champ. Yes. You know, again, two nice performances at Augusta now, and two appearances. It was in contention at the PGA. I'll be back on Cameron Champ the next time he steps foot on a golf course. I didn't play him this week. The people who did, obviously, shout out, you know, you got bigger cojones than I did. But again, this is what you get. I mean, he's just such a good birdie maker when he's at least competent with the putter and hitting it semi-straight. So,
Max, it's so true. If you found yourself to Spieth and Schauffele, you were way above the curve there, because Morikawa played well. But outside of those two, Schauffele and Spieth, nobody above 9,000 really performed well at all. You can even throw in Justin Thomas, who, you know, had a chance for the lead at one point. He only put up 70 DraftKings points in the end.
Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau, 59. We know about the miscuts. John Rahm was okay.
Yeah, Rahm was good. On Sunday.
That's what I was about to say. If you played Sunday, John Rahm was a must-own, basically, at that point. Yeah. But before that, he was basically nothing in the tournament. He wasn't even a factor in the tournament, really. He was one of those, like,
a backdoor.
Yeah, when you look at this 5 years from now, you're going to look at Rahm's top five and be like, oh, he played really well that week. No, he played good on Sunday. Max, so anything to note on that? You can also talk about the other side, the chalk, only two missed cuts, four top 10. So pretty good week for the chalk.
Yeah, the chalk was really good. Apart from the chalk that I played, like I played all the KC and he was all right.
He's fine. Yeah.
His Sunday was really good, but that was about it. Yeah, John Rahm with the baby. It makes sense that Sunday was really good for him. He finally got enough reps in, right? Because he wasn't able, he only got there on Wednesday and then had to get out there and play on Thursday. Yeah, it's just a weird week. Corey Connors again. I don't know. The guy, I mean, he's insane ball striking, right? And he's finally like making 20 footers for whatever reason.
At Augusta, at least.
Yeah, at Augusta. At Valero, too.
Yeah, he was.
A bunch of long putts. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe the guy's caught something with a putter. Spieth was great, obviously. I don't know. Xander was a tough play, but obviously in that range was amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a weird week.
Optimal, no surprise to see Spieth and Schauffele obviously up there, Hideki obviously as well as Alatoris. And the other two, Corey Connors and Justin Rose, 49,100. When you sit back from 3,000 feet, play the Monday morning quarterback, honest to God, guys, it doesn't look that hard. Then when you go into the top GPP lineup, it looks even easier. Mr. McGiblets 11, his 69th out of 100 lineup, was 102% of total ownership, Jeff. 102%.
Wow.
Not duplicated, and he won the event because of it. So before I have you guys comment on that, I want to say this. This is the second time in 3 years at Augusta where we've had over 100% total ownership win the Millionaire Maker with not a duplicate lineup. You got to play the chalk at Augusta. Jeff, I'll have you speak to you first.
I agree with that statement. I know it's recency bias. We got the lineup here and Jason's giving us the stats, but this is kind of the one major where I definitely agree with that. I think the US Open, there's so much variance with the tougher conditions and the rough. That is, that's a completely different event. And I think the stats will probably bear that out on winning lineups too, but it's becoming a theme with Augusta. Like, I'm sure we'll have a year where, it tips in this other scales again at some point, but like the chalk, it just pays off. The course experience, the year over year, whatever you want to call it. You look at this lineup, Zalatoris, Connors, the chalky, value picks. And then Spieth, obviously everyone was playing, and Casey, Xander and Matsuyama is where you had to make your moves. And maybe that's something to think about, like with the higher priced guys again, a slightly lower guys who are a little bit out of, people obviously were playing more Bryson, more Cantlay, whereas Schauffele and Hideki were a little bit lower sentiment, but really not terrible form. So that's about the only thing I can say here. But realistically, again, this is just another lesson. Like the chalk at Augusta usually going to pay off.
Max, 33% owned Jordan Spieth, 27% owned Paul Casey, and 22% owned Corey Connors in a 450,000 entry contest, winning it. I mean, yeah. It blows my mind.
Not duplicated is what blows
my mind. Yeah, that's duplicated. Crazy. No, it only used 49,600. Maybe that's the lesson here.
Yeah.
I mean, always leaving a couple hundred bucks off of your lineup in the Millie Maker is a great idea just to get that ownership discount. But yeah, I mean, Rose was like the 4%er there, right? Like, with, I don't know, playing Justin Rose, he's played what, 3 or 4 tournaments in a year? And then he just shows up, and that Thursday was just insane. The 10 hole stretch where he went 8 under or 7 under.
Yeah, 9 under through 10 holes.
It's insane. Yeah. So yeah, obviously it looks easy in retrospect, but yeah.
It always does.
It always does. But it's not. It wasn't easy. I think it was a combination of great course history for Rose and Decky for that lineup. And then just all the chalk that's been playing well.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And
that's it.
Throw in Xander. Now yeah. We'll go to our pro review, our fourth topic here. And before we move on to that, though, I want to tell you guys about some of the free content we got going on today. There's so many sports, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA. PGA, some people think the season's just getting started just after the Masters. We got NASCAR going on. But today, free, you get player rankings on the NBA. You're looking for pitchers for MLB? We've got them for you. Top pitchers free. And NHL player and top stacks are all free. And of course, if you're looking to get all of the great Osmo Plus content we've got, back here. Just $29.95 for the Osmond Plus Weekly Pass. That's going to get you every single sport and all of the player projections, premium Slack channel, and so much more you're going to get with it. But if you just want to join the three of us, Ben, we've got more guys on the team as well for the golf side. That's going to start at just $8.95 for a PGA Weekly package. So stop guessing, start winning, and join Osmo Plus today. And let's see how Alex did last week. Actually had a pretty good week. Only had three golfers of his top 13 miss the cut. Three in the top 10, but no Hideki Matsuyama anywhere to be found. I also thought that after day one, I sent him a message and I said, Alex, Justin Rose is in first place by four. How are you not winning every Millionaire Maker contest right now? As you guys can see, sadly, he finally came off of Justin Rose. Maybe the worst time to do so. Did find himself to Will Zalatoris. That was a great upside pick. He talked about that on the Wednesday night show. However, when we switch over to my ownership, Alex's top lineup was one or somewhere around the 1,000th place. So nothing great. Look over to mine. I could have played plenty of Will Zalatoris with my 100% Jordan Spieth, but I didn't. My second owned guy was Patrick Cantlay at 29%. So as you can see, just not a great pool. Had Lee Westwood up there as well. They were my only two missed cuts. However, I had a lot of Adam Scott, who was basically a missed cut. And just nobody else, really. No Zalatoris, no Connors, no Matsuyama for me in the top end. So as you guys can tell, I didn't have a great week. 2,360th was my top. However, for All In Finn, he had a great week. He came in first in the $100 and fourth in the $10 with the same lineup. And how he got there, Justin Thomas, top owned 40%, but Corey Connors, 34%, Hideki Matsuyama, 33%, Will Zalatoris, 23%. So you want to win the million, have 1, 2, 3 on the board be of in your top five ownership, guys. Obviously, it makes it quite easier. But Max, the thing I wanted to bring up, the most important thing I think I see with the GPP lineup or building is 40% was his top ownership. He didn't even go that crazy. It was a good balanced build throughout his 150 lineups, and it paid off.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he was what, 3 or 4 times the field on Hideki?
Yep.
That's always going to help. Like having the winner field, you're going to have a lot of chances to win, especially in a short field like this where 6 of 6 percentage was over 20%, if you have Hideki and a bunch of 6 of 6s, gives you a lot of odds to use a poker term. So, yeah, I mean, definitely great job on him being on Hideki so much. And, yeah, Willie Z didn't help, didn't hurt either.
No, that's for sure. Jeff, I'm assuming that was probably one of the things you saw was 40% top owned. Nice to see a conservative balanced build of 150 lineups win.
Yeah, so, I mean, that obviously gives you more opportunity to get more exposure to these low sentiment guys like Hideki or Xander.
Yep.
Obviously, if you concentrate it more, you're putting all the eggs in one basket. I will say this. I
like mine, too, approach. Yeah.
I kind of like your approach as well because, I mean, yeah, sure, you went 100% owned on one guy, but he was a good value, and it's not like Jordan Spieth limited who else you could put in your lineup. So
no, he didn't.
You just didn't spread it on the right guys, obviously, but if you had, I mean, that approach would have actually worked very good this week. So, definitely, you know, that obviously with Giblets or whatever here, it makes sense from, you know, you get exposure to the chalk guys and then you can go and have a little bit more room to get better ownership or bigger ownership on guys like Hideki. So,
yep, exactly. All right, let's move on and see how our top lineups fared. And hint, not great this week. We'll just preface
it. Top is a bad word to use, yes.
not great. Start with mine. And all week, my first build was Thomas Spieth. And for some reason, this is the second straight time at Augusta that I've been talked into myself. I talk myself, not somebody else. I talk myself into needing Bryson DeChambeau in my lineup. Just needing him, thinking he's going to get it done. So what happened there was that pushed me up $200, and that $200 moved me off of Adam Scott and Ryan Palmer to Jason Day and Matt Wallace. Well, that did cost me the cash there. I think my lineup would have been – I think it would have been the min cash. But, Max, even still, that's the type of decisions that cost you. And, stick with your first gut. Granted, the lineup still wouldn't have been good even with Adam Scott and Ryan Palmer. It would have been better. And Justin Thomas, of course. But still, Matt Wallace was actually a pretty good value this week. We talked about that before the show. He was fine.
Yeah. Matty Wallace played really well, especially, again, driver, irons. The guy is really good. Augusta Greens hurt him a little bit. Missed a couple four-footers. 8-footers. I also played him. So, yeah, he was fine at whatever, 6,400, I think he was. Yeah, the JT to Bryson thing, I don't know. Maybe Bryson is just not a good fit for this course. Like, I'm starting to think that he just doesn't see the angles, right?
He needs his greens book. I didn't really even know that was so big to him. But he obviously is.
Like, he can't use the track, man. So he's totally lost. It's crazy. He even had, like, a really good Friday round. What, he shoot, like, 67, which is par for him, whatever.
Yep.
But a really good Saturday, and then just Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday was brutal. Also, like, the wind hurts him more than others because he hits the ball so high. Yeah, so the wind picking up on Saturday was not great for him. In retrospect, like, I don't know. He has such high upside, it's hard to be off of him completely. But
especially when I see him on 13 has 112 yards in for a second shot. It's like, well, it's a possible tap-in eagle. I have to roster this guy because of that.
But it's funny, like, Cam Champ and him have very similar game frame. And for some reason, Champ can figure this course out and Bryson can't. You know, like, you would think that Bryson, with all his analytics, with all the time he puts in, would be able to figure out the shots here, but for some reason he just can't. And it's like, it's not a small sample anymore.
No,
like,
it's
4 or 5 tournaments now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be hard to play Bryson next time, but his ownership is going to reflect that. So we'll see.
Jeff, frontal lobe fatigue for my lineup and Bryson DeChambeau. He withdrew from this week's event, so don't worry. You don't have to play him this week. But obviously, I truly feel he's the reason I didn't cash. Now, had I started my lineup with Cantlay, I wouldn't have cashed either. But still, I think it was the decision to go up to Bryson that cost me. Now, when we look at your lineup, you kind of went down a similar path. The guy I just mentioned, Patrick Cantlay, you started your lineup with him. And you did go to Bryson as well here, too. So the start, the top of your build doesn't go right. Doesn't matter what the bottom of the build does.
No, I mean, look. Obviously, I was on the Cantlay train last week. And again, I mean, I don't really regret anything with this lineup, to be honest. Bryson, I think I kind of agree at this point, though. You know, he is such a hard guy to fade. I really like the upside. I just felt like he had figured out enough with the rest of his game this year that this was going to be the year that it clicked for him at Augusta. Clearly, I was wrong. Maybe there is some kind of, you know, mental thing. And maybe it's just with the way he's changed his game and striking the ball that it just doesn't work well with Augusta. It definitely works well at the U.S. Open courses where he can just blast it out of the big rough because he's so strong. Clearly isn't working for him that great at Augusta. So take note of that for future years. You know, learn your lesson. You know, again, Max Homa was a guy I was really big on as a GPP play. He's played well at Classic.
Almost fought back to make that cut, too.
It was close. And another guy who he was hitting it well. He just missed a couple putts early on Thursday. He got had like him. A 28 footer for eagle on two and he three putted and you're like, oh my god. And then you could just see the confidence draining. Didn't get it done. So I don't even regret any of these picks, if I'm being dead honest. Brooks was a pure gamble. I understand that, but he came in at 3% owned. He came in like 10 times lesser owned than Jordan Spieth. I'm never really going to beat myself up about that. I think if Brooks makes the weekend, he probably does make a little bit of noise and maybe puts in like a John Rahm performance. So, yeah, it was a risky play. Again, you know, you fade the chalk at Augusta. This is where you're going to get a lot. But, again, I look at this. I think I made a good call with Siwoo Kim. I think Wallace was fine. Yeah. I don't regret Homa. Cantlay just didn't show up. So, it was a write-off. You're either first or last, though. And so at least I didn't have to watch this lineup on the weekend.
So, that's a great point, Max.
My slot was over after Thursday. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Max, had you and I even just clicked Louis Oosthuizen's name over Jason Day, we would have, I think, gotten to the cash. Would have been closer. I don't know if we would have quite gotten there. We would have been closer. Why we picked Jason Day over Louis Oosthuizen, maybe we're going for the win other than the top 20 because the top 20 odds actually favored Louis, odds to win favored Day. However, it wouldn't have mattered because Dustin Johnson was your guy this week and he let you down for the first time at Augusta ever.
Yeah, DJ was rough. Like, he real was bad. Like 95% to make the cut on Saturday. And I think he part 15, bogey 16, bogey 17. Like, I don't know what happened with DJ. I think maybe he was just like, I'm not going to win this week, so I don't care. I just kind of checked out. But it was strange. And I thought DJ was a good play at his ownership as compared to Bryson. I had Bryson in there first. And then I just saw maybe half of ownership of Bryson on DJ. And I felt like that was a good GPP play. Jason Day, I watched every shot of his. And I got
to
say,
That must have made you sick to your stomach doing that. Because I did too.
It's not looking good for Jay Day. Like,
putters, he started off one under through two holes. And I was like, oh, yes, I did the right thing.
Yeah. No. Putter wasn't there at all, which used to be Jay Day's saying. Now he's, I don't know, like 160.
He did 3-wood off the first 7 holes each day. What is he doing? Driver's supposed to be the best club in his bag. I'm done with Jason.
Yeah.
Done.
And the irons were bad. He was like middle of the fairway on like 10, 11, and just hit it into, he constantly hit it into places where you can't hit it at Augusta. Like,
where you're like, what is he doing?
If there's a bunker, he's hitting it into the bunker. If you can't go over the green, he's hitting it over the green. It was just insane to watch him. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the guy is a mystery to me. I thought he was figuring it out. He looked good in a couple tournaments, like insane tee to green stats. And just, I think I'm off of him for the rest of the year. It was that bad.
Yeah, he definitely had a bogey party nonetheless going on out there. All right, I'm done with Augusta. As much as I did enjoy it and love it and appreciate all of the content that they gave us, we got to rip it off like a Band-Aid and get over it quickly and move on to the RBC Heritage, where we've got 132 players. I say that with a little bit of a question mark, you guys, because the field was at 138. The field's only supposed to be set for 132. We've had 4 people drop out. Now I think maybe 2 got added somehow. We're at 136. No alternates will be added to the field, though, unless we get at least 5 more withdrawals. So even if we get 4 more withdrawals, nobody added 132 players. A great field, though. Maybe because when they came in June, this was the second event back from COVID, they love the course. However, they're going to get a different course this week, almost similar to what we said with Augusta last week, which, by the way, we were dead on. Maybe it was the only thing we were dead on about, but we were. It was a completely different golf tournament. I don't think this one will be completely different, but typically the winner, we've seen like a GPP wins for DraftKings be like 530. Well, in June, it was like 730 points. Webb got to 22 under. It was insane. We shouldn't see that this week, Max, at a course that is pretty fun, a strong international contingent here, actually a really good field.
Yeah, and there's some weird stuff going on in the greens. Like, they overseeded them for the first time ever, so you can't just, like, play all the Bermuda putters like you used to be able to. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great field. The one thing at this course is so important, we talked about it before the show, is greens and regulation. The greens are tiny. So if you hit the greens, you're going to have birdie putts.
There are.
Yeah, that's all you really have to look at here. And I'm sorry to say, Corey Connors is number one in greens and reg in the last 3 months. Okay. So there's that. That's going to be more and more chalk right there.
Jeff, as we move on to talk about Harbortown a little bit, a beautiful golf course in Hilton Head. And if the listeners have never been to Hilton Head before, or you guys have never been, I do recommend that you go. Very special place. I'm about 6 hours from there. And it's very, I don't even know, I guess I would describe it as a hippie-ish, laid-back place. There's bike riding everywhere. There's more golf courses than there are gas stations. It's pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie to you. As we just mentioned, 3,700 square feet per green on average, which is going to lead to lower greens and regulation, somewhere around 60%. Fairways also really hard to hit here, some of the hardest to hit. But once you're on the greens, Jeff, because they're so small, they're hard to be difficult, rather easy to scramble and to putt on them. So does that change your thinking or change your player pool at all this week?
I mean, this is a tournament where, you know, typically guys, it's not too important what you do off the tee. It's just obviously it's a second shot course. You have to have a little bit of skill. I mean, I think the guys around the green who are typically just a little bit higher end tend to do well here too. I mean, because, you know, you will miss a few greens just because they're so small, but they're typically easy to get around too. So, you know, for me, it's just, you know, with the good, it's supposed to be good weather there this week. And I think that's the biggest thing where, you know, for me, it's going to be about guys who just, it's going to be mainly pure iron play here. I really want to emphasize that strokes gain approach, but also guys who I think can get hot with the putter. We've seen guys like Snedeker, Webb. You know, it's a pretty simple course when it boils it down and the weather is good. But we did see last year a lot of high-end guys like Dustin and even Brooks compete here, because it's, like I said, when there's no weather to defend this course, it gets pretty simple. And like the really top-end guys here can get it going pretty fast.
Yeah, they certainly can. We saw that with Webb Simpson. Good to see him back here this week. So let's go ahead and go into our first clicks. And before the show, I was a little frantic trying to find some information here because nothing was out. But Max, my friend over there, directed me to awesome.oddshopper.com, which I was then able to find all of the printed odds. One of the William Hill was the one that had it out, and I didn't even know to search them. That's why all you got to do is just go to Awesome Odd Shopper. That's it. Easy way to find that if I talk too quickly or you spell it wrong, which I do all the time because I'm a bad speller. Just go to our homepage, awesome.com. There's banners across the top. Whoopsies, I hit my microphone trying to tell you about it. Sorry, Jordan, we're good back there. And you'll be able to click right there on it and get to it. So, with that being said, Colin Morikawa 20-1, one of my first clicks this week. Tyrell Hatton 25-1, my second click. And then my third click, I am going to tap into the Jeff Ulrich bucket of golfers. And I'm going to tell you that the last time this guy won was 2017. And the last two winners of the events, Hideki Matsuyama, Jordan Spieth, last one in 2017, so Russell Henley. That's who it's going to be for me. Max, I'll let you go. I think Jeff is still there. I might have clicked like off of his thing, but Max, I'll let you talk first on your first clicks for the RBC Heritage.
A lot of long shots, I feel like, will compete here too, just because good iron play is so important, and there's a lot of guys that have been playing good with their irons. Like Corey Connors isn't a bad price, right? Like, he's competing in the Masters. Why not here? Zalatoris coming off of that. I don't even, is he going to stay in this field? I hope so. The guy plays every week pretty much. So, yeah, I mean, if he wants to find that win to stay on the PGA Tour and be eligible for the playoffs, this would be a good place for him. I like his price. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Hatton and Morikawa, but let's not sleep on Cantlay either. His price is short, but I think this is a good place for him to make a comeback. Seventh in greens and reg in this field, and that's the one stat I'm looking at. That's super important.
Yeah, I'll talk about Cantlay. I thought that the odds getting up there, you know, I think I saw them at, 18-1, which kind of put him behind.
Yeah, 16, yeah.
16-1, yeah, put him behind Webb Simpson. They have those flipped on DraftKings, which I did think is interesting a little bit. I'm going to play Cantlay because I can't not. But I will tell you that I am a bit nervous with his irons. I want to see those bounce back before I'm ready to give him, I would say, like the full gauntlet or something like that. Not going to lie to you. I just think that it was concerning. And when I heard the announcers talk about him changing his swing to try and get steeper, that's going to take some time to riff through. So for me, I decided to click Morikawa's name, who – you know, I think is playing fine golf, but I don't know. I have this theory that if you win, it's going to be a decent amount of time before you win again, because there are so many good golfers nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't imagine Morikawa is going to win again this soon, but he proved us wrong last year. Still, I think Ty Hatton 25-1. Jeff, before you signed off, I tapped into your bucket of golfers for my third click this week. Russell Henley, 66-1. And here's my trend on it. Last two golfers to win events, Jordan Spieth, Hideki. Last one in 2017, and that's when your boy's last win was. So 66-1, fire him up. Why not?
Read my mind, man. Yeah, I think this is too big for Russell Henley. I mean, again, and this is a good lesson. I mean, we've got guys like Hideki, Jordan Spieth. They're still playing good. They're really high-end TD Green players. Now they finally got over the hump. It took them a while, but Henley's in the same basket. I'm not saying he's as good as Spieth or anything, but his tee to green game has been good for over a year. You know, Harris English is another guy. Just grinding, finally getting through the hump. I think I was surprised to see this price on Henley, quite frankly. He's bigger than, like, you know, Matt Kuchar. He's bigger than even like a guy like Harris English, who's been playing better than over the last little bit. So, yeah, I agree. Chris Kirk is the other guy in that range. I don't mind either.
Chat just brought up, Max, Brian Harman at 30-1. And listen, this course is way better suited, in my opinion, than Augusta. And he's just been out there competing T12 last week. So he'll play again next year, no matter what OWGR he comes in at. He is playing above his norm this year. There's no doubt about it. And 30-1 in a field that does have Dustin Johnson, Webb Simpson, Colin Morikawa, et cetera. I think we're too short here. I would try. Again, I'm seeing 30-1. Maybe it's a little longer.
33, whatever. It's the same deal.
Too much for me.
I would definitely skip Harmon here. I mean, there's so much good value, like down in the 80s and the 100s. Like even Kevin Streelman's been hitting His irons really well. Like all these like iron players are just priced too long, in my opinion. Stuart Sink is one guy I want to bring up.
Yeah.
Looked really good at the Masters. Has looked good pretty much all year. 125, hitting his greens, driving the ball really well. If the putter comes alive, Stuart Sink could compete.
Somebody in the 100 to 1 range that's piqued your interest, Jeff. Now, again, it's correct that these dropped literally, I think, at 130 and salaries dropped at 140. So, like 5 minutes ago, maybe a little longer than that. So, we haven't had time. Been chatting with everybody here. But any names stick out? One name that did for me, Patton Kizzire, 150 to 1. He's one of these in the bucket of, I can't believe he continues to play so well, but he does.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. This is a perfect setup for Kizzire. He can putt it. You know, he's very much like a Webb Simpson light player, doesn't do much off the tee, but can just light it up with his irons and his end on the greens, obviously, when he gets hot. I don't mind staying on Matt Wallace here. I mean, yeah. It was two events ago. He gained, you know, 15 strokes tee to green, you know, gained more strokes than Jordan Spieth. He can certainly get hot. You know, seeing him just on the DraftKings Sportsbook right now at 100 to 1, kind of surprising, to be honest. So I'd stay on Matt Wallace there if he's going to be at triple figures again.
Yeah, Patton Kizzire kind of leads or heads a bunch of golfers that, you know, could probably take a boat from their home in Sea Island up here quicker than going up I-95 and get there much quicker. But it goes to say they obviously practice on almost the identical setups. The RSM Classic is certainly a correlated course to the point where it sits on very similar land, at least the Plantation course over there. So interesting tournament course there. I bring it up for Patton Kizzire. A couple of names deeper for me that had popped form recently. Kyle Stanley at 250 to 1. Anurban Lahiri, 300 to 1. Talk about Ryan Armour, 500 to 1. All those guys have played pretty decently recently. So, Max, any names, bombs before we get into our DFS preview?
The guys that won me all the money. I like Neesmith. I like Seifert. These are the guys that have been striking their irons really well. They definitely pop at a course like this.
Jeff, how about you?
Yeah, definitely like the Neesmith call, just hitting his irons well. Doc Redman played a little bit better at Valero, too. This is definitely kind of a Doc Redman course. So I'd probably throw him in that basket, too.
I said I needed a top 20 from him to play him again. I think we got it. So, or at least we were close.
Close.
We made it. Did we fade on Sunday? I think we might have faded out of the top 20 on Sunday. Come to it, but that is what it is. Yeah, Neesmith, again, RSM Classic actually has been some of his best performances on the tour. So if you are using the geographical location kind of thing for your fit, then Neesmith could do that. So, all right, let's turn our attention over to DraftKings for the last 7 minutes. We are out of here at 155 as NHL. I believe that's what's coming up after us. The strategy show. And then, of course, we've got MLB, we got NBA. We just got so much going on. That's why they've got us in at 1 o'clock. So let's go ahead and chat a bit about the way too high a price at Dustin Johnson, which may create a little bit of an ownership gap this week, 11,600. Then they put Cantlay at 10.9 above Webb at 10.7. I had that flipped. I thought for sure Webb played pretty good last week, defending champ. He would come in above Patrick. I had Bryson number two, but obviously him not being in the field, that cancels that. So Max, you played him last week at basically the same price. Are you clicking Dustin's name again in hoping you're going to get 10% or lower this week, or are you done until we get a top 10?
DJ in this course is not somebody that I like. It's not the course where he usually does well. And so for me, like to play DJ at 11.6, there has to be a really big gap in his form and his talent with the guys that are lower, right? And you're not getting it. You're not getting it at this price. I think he's
Right now you're not getting it. It may be long term, but right now it's not.
Yeah. I don't really look at like 1 year stats, 2 year stats. Like I look at much shorter term. I think Cantlay is good for a bounce back. Webb is going to be your chalk, I think, just because he's chalk here every year, and he just had a decent showing in Augusta. Berger missed the cut. 10K seems steep. He might be a lower on play. That's really good. Todd Torres, they finally priced him up. Connors, they finally priced up.
Both and Cam Smith, for that matter.
Yeah. And Cam Smith. Yeah. Cam Smith at 10-2 seems very high.
Jeff, is that I want to pivot off that, Max, if you don't mind, on Cam Smith. Is that an obvious low owned play this week? There's no way many people are going to click his name first at 10,200.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I agree. I think most people are going to start with Berger at 10K. I think, you know, this is, again, Berger getting discounted again, kind of similar to last week, like 900 less than Cantlay. I think people just say, well, you know, Berger's like might be the better player right now. So they'll just start there. They'll, you know, it should lead to a little bit lower ownership on Cantlay as well. Though I think most people will side with Cantlay over DJ for the reasons Max said. I agree with everything he said there. Why would you play Dustin when he's out of form and you got like guys like Paul Casey going to like 9,200? It just doesn't make much sense. So yeah, I agree. Cam Smith could be a really good pivot. I think he's playing really well right now. It's a good setup for him. So that might be like a good place to start. If you're not interested necessarily in paying up for Cantlay again or anything like that, I think Berger will be the place most people start though. I think they'll just feel comfortable taking the discount there. And again, you know, a player who's quite frankly outside of the one miscut played really well. So
Max, strong European contingent here. And a couple of them have said this is their best or favorite course on the PGA Tour rotation. And it makes sense. It's more target-oriented golf. In fact, it's more of the typical golf that they would see traveling to all the countries that they do over on the European Tour, which, of course, they're always more target-oriented courses over there. There's just not many bomb at courses. That's not how they play over there. So 9,500 for Ty Hatton, 9,100 for Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And Tommy Fleetwood's irons are coming around. In fact, he was top five in greens in regulation last week. So I think you could start with all three of them. And in fact, if you want to get crazy, you could even add in a Matt Wallace and start with four European players. The other guy I want to throw out in this range at 8,400, since we don't have too much time, Harris English, finally a bounce back week last week. I think he might be coming back into form. I might play him this week.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Casey at 8,200 right there as well.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even see Casey, yep.
Yeah, I think he will probably be the chalk. Sungjae Im is going to be really chalky at 9K just because he's chalky all the time. 9K. Yeah.
Like although at the plus 15, maybe not this week.
Yeah, that was brutal, right? I don't know. But yeah, Anser at 8,900. Even like Lee Westwood at 8,300 here, another Euro Tour guy. Man, just a lot of plays in this field. I feel like we usually have much shorter fields here. Feels like a really deep field.
Very.
But yeah, like when I look at the 7Ks, I don't see too many plays in the 7Ks. So it's kind of the opposite of last week where all the guys that we had in the 7Ks last week are all 8K now and 9K now, which is how it should be in a field like this. Yeah, it's going to be interesting navigating what the chalk is. It's going to be interesting figuring out who the under-owned plays are. But I think the 9K range is going to be your make or break it.
Yeah, I agree. Jeff, as we got, you know, 120 seconds left or give her there a take. You guys already mentioned Neesmith in the betting side, 6,900 for him. But we got Sam Burns, not the right course for him maybe, at 7,300. Cam Davis at 7,400. Two guys that have played super well this year that maybe are going to go a little bit higher owned. But how about something below 8,000? Give me a couple names, Jeff, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, I mean, Davis and Burns, definitely good kind of, you know, potentially like low and bounce back guys. I don't think many people are going to go Burns here. Those guys have really good birdie rates, though. I think Kirk is probably going to be like just pure favorite play for me in terms of price. I think he's going to be the favorite play for a lot of people in that range, though. So something to take note of. I think, again, Davis could just be a good pivot. Going down, too, I mean, I'm very comfortable playing Emiliano Grillo at courses like this. Yeah. Yep. And I don't think his ownership will get too crazy either. I just feel like most people just kind of forget about him. But he's played some pretty good golf of late. I mean, at 7,300, it does feel like on a course like this, maybe just being a bit discounted there.
The T44 for Tyler Duncan. Yeah, I know that's kind of going down the board quite a bit, Max. But with less than 60 seconds left, that's what we got to do. T44 at the Valero actually was much better. He played better. He's a name that I'll click at 6,100. He's not going to be in my main lineup, but a name I'll click way down there. How about between 8,000 and 6,100? Give me a couple of plays, and then we'll jump out of here. Of course, don't forget, we have got some of the best golf still to come this year, PGA Championship and so much more. So, Max, what do you got last couple of plays here?
Ryan Moore, 6,900, good iron player. Seifert, I already mentioned on the batting side, 6,700. Sink, 6,700. A lot of good plays in the 6K range.
Okay, so that's going to do it for us. I want to just a quick programming note here. The Zurich Classic is next week, which is a fun event. It's a team event, but DraftKings has not put out any contest for it. So we switch our focus over for 1 week to the European Tour. A little bit less coverage on there. You may not see us, but in 2 weeks, we will be back for my Masters, the Valspar Championship, right down the street from me. So, of course, perfect time. You want to tune into that show a couple of Mondays from now. Of course, Ben and I on our Tuesday show tomorrow, we'll go on some PGA DFS strategy and then live before lock on Wednesday at 8:30. So be tuned in for all of those. And of course, make sure you like and subscribe to our channel here. That is going to do it for Max, for Jeff. I am Jason. Good luck this week at the RBC Heritage, and we will see you in a couple weeks for the Valspar Championship. Cheers, everybody.